On tonight's All Things Nerd Season 3, Episode 6, we will be talking about the Super Bowl movie trailers, probably the only thing that was any good on the Super Bowl. Along with that, we're going to be talking about NASA's DART mission, which sci-fi is becoming real. And we're also going to talk about Skybound and Beamdog. Partnership to bring some games to consoles. If you're here watching live on the Twitch channel, please join in on the conversation. We will be pulling your notes out of the conversation to create a better chat. Along with that, sit back, enjoy the show. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Mess 5150 here with another All Things Nerd podcast, Season 3, Episode 6. We are back again, and we have two new but not new faces back on the cast with us. It's awesome. It's amazing. We are so happy to have them back on the cast with us. First and foremost, you have me, the host, Mess 5150. Then the first face that we have been waiting for to pop back up on the cast with his magnificent beard as well is the Big Papa Matt. How are you, sir?
Oh, you know, I'm good. How are y'all doing? What's up? Good to see y'all. Nice to see your faces. Wes, your beard's looking fantastic as well. Ken, you're svelte as always. Look at Sarah over there smiling, all happy and going at it. And Marley wrapped in her blankies.
Yep. You know it.
That's for all the people listening on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes.
I made this. I went from video to audio that quick. Get some.
The other face that we haven't seen in a while, first time in 2019, is Marley Ba. How are you?
I'm frozen. I'm ready to go and, you know, be the third sister there. Elsa, shove over. I'm taking the throne. I'm cold.
We were talking about if she was going to keep her blanket on the whole time. She's like, damn right.
You are going to have to pry me out of this when I'm dead.
Yeah, Red, you and Red can empathize together in the chat room because she's freezing too.
Mm-hmm. See, the worst part of it is that we got over our really cold winter. We had like 40 degree weather and then it dropped to 5 this morning. So
you didn't believe Game of Thrones when they said winter is coming.
You know, I believe them. I just was not ready for it.
You heard her talking as well. We have Super Whovian Freak on the cast. How are you?
Getting over a cold, but doing better.
So somebody's trying to stay from getting cold, and you're getting over a cold, even though they're not the same thing. But
well, you know, here in Southern California, we don't actually get cold, so I have to just have a cold to get sympathy.
That's the only way you can really...
It's the only way I can get some sympathy.
It's better than pneumonia.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
You and I will.
Everyone call me Phoebe tonight, and I'm going to have my sticky shoes voice going, and we're all going to have a good time.
You're the last person of our cast this week, Masonic Vader. How are you, sir?
It goes well. Now people are saying that it's not cold in San Diego. You know, it has in Southern Cali. It has hit the low 30s at night. There's this great invention, Marley, I want to talk to you about. It's called a heater. I think you just got to turn the knob, and then this magical stuff called warmth and heat just comes out of the, and it keeps you warm.
Nothing will thaw out my soul right now.
Damn.
That is deep, Marley. Okay. So we always start off this cast with what everybody's been geeking out on, what they've been nerding out on, what has been tickling their pop culture fancy. Since we haven't seen them in a while, I almost said Son of Maku, even though it's the same. Big Papa Matt, what have you been geeking out on?
Just depends on which zip code. Yes, it's, you know, they've never been in the same room at the same time, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, so it's like Batman.
Exactly. Yeah, you just never know for sure. What have I been geeking out on? So many things. Something we'll talk about a little bit later today with Schitt's Creek. The Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix have been phenomenal, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there. If you guys have not been checking that out, you have to check that out. And then Kingdom Hearts 3, man. Lots of long nights playing Kingdom Hearts 3. been going to like 3-4 in the mornings, a couple of the evenings since I picked that up as well. So if you haven't got that, you definitely need to pick it up as well.
Now you haven't been watching Ted Bundy because you think he's hot, because that was you saw what Netflix did when they had to put
Everybody thinks Ted Bundy's hot. Are you kidding me? So how he got away with so many murders? Is that not a thing? Am I the only one?
Netflix had scrumptious.
Scrumptious. Delicious. Scrumptious. I mean, when Zac Efron plays him, it's going to be terrifying.
That's exactly what my wife said. She's like, I don't think he's hot, but Zac Efron is Ted Bundy? Oh my God, that's extremely hot. It's like, oh my God. Oh,
and that's why your wife has great taste.
And I'm not dressing up as Ted Bundy for Halloween, so. Indiana Jane says Ted Bundy was hot. That's literally how he got away with it. Yeah. Just like, repeating it. You guys are saying the same thing. You're on the same wavelength.
It's those dreamy eyes.
You know, those deep cesspools of eyes that he had.
Marley, getting off the Ted Bundy subject. Marley, what have you been geeking out on?
A blanket.
I've been geeking out on Staying Alive. I mean, does it count as pop culture if I've been kind of geeking out over the Netflix series with Marie Kondo tidying up?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, like, you're that really
whatever you want.
Yeah, awesome. Because I mean, that really did spark a lot of conversation. It was just like, there's nothing that really gets you in the mood for cleaning than seeing other people's places being disorganized, or even if it's not like a total train wreck, it makes you look around like, oh, I need to clean up.
Even her whole process of how to clean is like, the whole take the clothes and hold them and see if they mean anything to you, and not saying to get rid of them, but make sure that you still have a connection. And if you don't have a connection to something, don't hold on to it.
Well, it's like, why, like, honestly, half the time we hold on to things and it's like, it's taking up space. And it's like, why do I even have this thing? I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't use it. Why do I give it space? Just throw the darn thing out.
That's our culture. We
hold on to things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Don't tell me about it, but
don't look behind Wes.
there's nothing more satisfying, though, and I can now personally attest to this, than letting go of a pair of pants that just sort of fits and is actually making you miserable every time you wear them. Throwing, you know the face.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah,
throwing them away or donating them and just being like, yes, I never have to even think about wearing those again.
And then you run into a homeless person down the street a week later with them on.
That's fine, so long as they're comfortable.
That would be funny. Yeah.
Jack, our producer, is in the chat room, says he's been nerding out on Kerbal Space Program. Did I pronounce that right?
Kerbal Space Program. It's phenomenal. Amazing game.
It's a game for super nerds. You run a space agency and design rockets and stuff to explore the cosmos in its physics engine. So it means it's too high a level for me. I need those paint by color video games.
The thing is, they give you this whole amazing paint by numbers, you know, setup and tutorial. It's great. The problem is there's, you know, a million different combinations to build a rocket, and it's fantastic. It's a ton of fun. It's a great simulator, but holy cow, it's frustrating if you just can't get the damn rocket off the ground.
I love Red Mifa's comment in the chat. I've held boyfriends close. They didn't spark anything, and I've thrown them away.
Word. Yeah.
Okay, Super, what have you been geeking out on?
Three things. Most of this week was spent rewatching season 13 and all of 14 of Supernatural to prepare for last night's 300th episode. But I also took a break and I decided to watch the Netflix series You. If you guys haven't seen it yet, it is ridiculously creepy. It shows you basically all of the ways anybody can be violated in today's day and age of, you know, technology, how you can be hacked, what people can do with that information to manipulate you into situations that they want you to be in. And then at the same time, but it's kind of like going back to the series Dexter, you almost kind of root for the bad guy to win because he's like that charming and that, you know, kind of goofball when he's not being totally creepy. you kind of want him to win. So if you haven't seen the series, go check it out. It's really, really good. And then, of course, I watched the 300th episode of Supernatural. I'm not going to tell you how many times I watched it.
Well, that's
and I'm fine. Not going to tell you how many times
I cried. How did it rank? How did it...
Actually, really good. I wish it was longer. Like, I felt like they kind of had to pack a little bit in there, and maybe they could have left some stuff out. But, I mean, you got Jeffrey Dean Morgan back, which was amazing. They did it in a way that almost kind of felt Flash-like, with the two timelines meeting into one instead of time travel. So that was amazing. All of the scenes, just the emotions and the reunion and Mary and John, it was fantastic. I just wish it was longer.
Okay. Well, you got more episodes coming and more seasons. Yeah. So that is getting longer. So Indiana Jane says Jeffrey Dean Morgan was awesome, but they basically made the episode irrelevant. But yeah. Yeah. You know,
in the anime world, we like to call that a filler episode, so they can actually write the canon and catch up to the real story.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, she is right. The episode, as far as like what they were trying to do, didn't succeed in any way, shape, or form. But it gave them closure on their past, and now they get to, you know, move forward and go live their lives. So that was good.
And we've sparked a conversation of Dexter only kills bad people.
Yeah.
So you have to root for him. Jack responds with, well, I'm not sure I'm okay with someone killing, even if they're only killing bad people.
Yeah. I mean, you guys got to watch the series for yourselves. And then I don't want to spoil it because it is really good. But, you know.
Sonic, what have you been geeking out on?
Well, my shirt alludes to what I've been geeking out. I've been going old school. Not so far 2600, but... I mentioned this, I think, last week that Nintendo has a little subscription service. Well, I hooked my kids' DS with it. So now I can go and back and play Tecmo Bowl, original Tecmo Bowl, or Super Mario Brothers, or what I just started up and is already driving me insane because I forgot all of it, Legend of Zelda. So the original and that damn Forbidden North, West, South, West,
Lost Woods. It's left down, left down, left down. Just that's the repeating pattern.
Got it.
My mom remembers that one better than I do, and we still have the laminated map from when I was a kid, and it's like the one that's printed from the screenshots.
Oh, good lord!
It's
nice.
My mother was like the master of that game. She remembered where all of the stuff was. Right now, I don't remember anything except that left down, left down, left down.
There's a lot of cool games on there, which is nice. Get to go back and live back some of the old childhood memories. I mean, even like some of the Mario from the arcade where you had to hit the turtles underneath them, kick them over and stuff. So it's been fun flashing back to the old arcade 8-bit classics.
Nice. And then my geek out has been basically what I was doing before, and I finally... finished binge watching what I said was the soap opera of all soap operas for nighttime television right now, and that was Empire, and I am fully caught up. And of course they leave you on a big cliffhanger waiting for what's going to happen next to explain how the story goes. This whole season has been a here's what the show starts out, and then 6 months later is where we're going to show you little snippets until you get up to it, but somebody's in a coffin and you don't know who. So they're playing all types of mind games with us. And then the other thing, I have to retract a little bit, because when we were having our nerd fight on the best show of 2018 and Nudie Rudy picked Big Mouth, I said it wasn't for everybody, which it's still not, and that it wasn't all that great of a show. But as I continued watching it, it's actually a very well done, written show, and they just had their Valentine's special come out, and I watched that today, and enjoyed that. Had a lot of fun with that. So that's been what I've been geeking out on. Jack Mellis says it's not even close to being a good show.
Yeah. Notice how it didn't win the poll.
It was one of those things you have to time. So, I mean, Big Papa Matt, you would agree with me that you have to give it time to stick it out to make it worthwhile.
Oh yeah, but the thing is, what I know about Big Mouth more than anything is it's not going to be for everybody. It starts off for pure shock value, and it hopes to weed people out. I think is honestly the biggest thing with that. And honestly, it's probably one of the things that's going to hurt it in the long run. But at the same time, if you give it its time, you give it its due, it actually ends up being a really cool story and a great way to have a conversation around, you know, just kind of kids and their lives changing, man. It actually has some little bit, it's deep and it's hard to find, but there's a little heart in there somewhere.
Yeah, you have to get to the second season with it, really.
You just have to wade through all the crap to get to it.
You do. But Jack clarified, he is not talking about Big Mouth. He is talking about this specific show right now that we're recording. So with that, let's move on. since we have two people back, I'm going to pick one of these people to help create that role-playing Dungeons & Dragons party that we've been creating with our Classy Nerd segment, where we have the person go through a flow chart, give us their choices, and we find out what class they should be playing in D&D. So far, we have a sorcerer, we have a bard, and we have a ranger. Marley, I'm going to be asking you some questions, and you're going to give me answers.
All right.
When I fight, I like to use magic to weaken them in ways previously unimaginable. Either stop the fight or end it quickly by helping my friends, or hit them where it hurts physically.
Oh, hit them where it hurts physically.
Okay.
Or then stay in the blanket.
the blanket gives me +3 cold resistance. Shush.
What's your view on personal space? I don't have boundaries. Respectable, but close when I need to be. And please get away from me.
Oh, gosh. Please get away from me.
Okay.
Stay out of my blanket.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going the same route as last week. What's Katniss Everdeen to you? A role model? She should have just used a gun. Or who?
Should have just used a gun.
Okay, good. We're going a different direction. You don't have guns. Would a hand crossbow work? Yeah, that's fine. Or absolutely not.
Yeah, that's all right.
And you are a rogue. So we have a rogue.
See, I'd have guessed either rogue or possibly a barbarian. But that's just based barbarian. On how I'm playing FPSs. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But now you can sneak around in your blanket. And
I can.
And Jack says it makes sense because you play a rogue in their D&D, in his D&D game.
Yep. There you go.
Welcome to the chat, Whiskey Gamer. Okay, so moving on. Now it's the big portion of the show. It's the nerd news. So on the nerd news, the first subject that we were going to tackle is we had the Super Bowl this Sunday. And as always, we like to react and review the trailers that ended up happening on Super Bowl. The trailers that we got for movies was Avengers Endgame, Captain Marvel, Us, Hobbs and Shaw, Wonder Park, Stories to Tell in the Dark, and Toy Story 4. We're going to rate these best to worst type of thing, but does anybody have any thought? I mean, anybody, your favorite trailer?
The one that left me the most intrigued was the Us trailer.
That one left me creeped out.
That by far was my favorite trailer.
They're ruining that movie.
I don't think they are, though. You think
They're ruining it.
Because you think they're giving too much away?
Yeah, they're killing us. And the thing that sucks about it is because, yeah, Jordan Peele, you know, he got the Oscar last year for screenplay with a Get Out. But the thing is he's still not big enough to sit there and tell all of these advertisers and stuff what he actually wants shown. And I really hope that he's happy with what they're showing of this movie. They need to be keeping so much more a mystery. And I guarantee you, we have already seen footage from the last 20 minutes of that film in that trailer that was on Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would say there's certain scenes specifically that I could say probably would end up being just the
100%.
Way. 100%. Yeah, the whole running in the sand with bloody blade or whatever.
I don't know. I still gotta see it.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I can't wait to see it. But
I chose my ratings. Is I took three categories. One, I took if I knew nothing about this project whatsoever, would it entice me to see it? Two, how was the story shown in the trailer to make me want to see it. And three, just entertainment value overall. And us, just, it entices me. I actually like this trailer better than the first one. The first one I thought was more focused on story. And I think this would be been a better trailer just to get from the get go than the first one.
It creeped me out. It creeped me. Those creepy masks.
It's supposed to.
And then the way that they run, like freaky runs. I don't know what it is about just watching people run like in a disjointed way, but it is so ridiculously creepy.
Yeah, as Indiana Jane says, Super's right. We're still all going to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to see it. Mm-mm. Nope. My blanket is not big enough to protect me from that.
Okay, what did you guys think about Avengers Endgame?
It was good. It gave nothing away. It showed you who's still there in case y'all forgot, you know, who's still there, who didn't poof into a, you know, cloud of smoke. And I'm excited.
I want to see that one.
So, and then you said Toy Story probably has me most excited. Favorite trailer was Birds of Prey because it was just teaser. So, was that your favorite trailer?
Yeah, honestly, because they didn't show anything. You know, they didn't spoil anything.
That was the one I hated the most because I was like, this is just a waste of my time.
Yeah.
But it was 30 seconds, not 3 minutes of a waste of your time. That's the difference.
Yeah, I guess.
To be honest, I didn't even realize what it was a trailer for. I thought it was a trailer for the new Harley Quinn movie.
That's why it was great. You know why? Because we all went and looked up what the hell that trailer was.
No, I didn't.
So it goes and wins.
What did you have something, Masonic?
No. You know what? Yeah, I liked the Avengers Endgame trailer because it was just nice to see, everyone coming back and everything that lived. But also, it kind of makes you think. At the very end, is this the last time we're going to see Captain America, Chris Evans? You know, I'm kind of bummed if it is because out of all the people casted, I think there's two people that have actually been able to fit that role like to a T, and that was Tony Stark and Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Robert Downey Jr., those two guys are like the pillars. And as much as I know that they are going to move on forward from it, it just stinks that Captain America, Chris Evans is no longer going to be donning the shield and everything. And, you know, but my favorite one was Hobbs and Shaw. And I liked it because not necessarily of The Rock and Statham, because I've always liked how they're very entertaining and they could probably pull the movie themselves. But honestly, Idris Elba was my favorite part of that. Yeah. His villain, that villain is pretty sick, superhero-ish, but I just like him as a character.
I loved that trailer. That was my second favorite after Us because it once again, on those three categories, that was the one where I was like, this makes me want to see it. It's showing me it's fun. It's showing me that it looks like it's going to be enjoyable, whether I knew about the Fast and the Furious franchise and these characters at all. But when the heck did Fast and the Furious become a straight up comic book movie? I know that they've always done like crazy off the wall stunts, but now we have superhuman bad guy.
I haven't personally watched a Fast and the Furious since the first one because I didn't love the first one and I didn't really care to see any of the others, but I actually want to go see this one. I thought the trailer looked really good. It was a little bit too long, in my opinion, probably gave a little bit too much away, but I still want to go see the movie.
It was, I don't know if it gave too much away. It was a Michael Bay trailer. Lots of explosions.
Yeah, lots of explosions. Which is coming from a Michael Bay movie.
Nothing. Jack Malice, our producer, brings up that, yeah, everything seems to be turning into superhero movies nowadays. And that's, I mean, going with this, with that, what did I see that was in the...
Oh, Marley had a question. Marley,
I do have a question. Now, I'm not one who's ever really been into the Fast and Furious franchise, but one thing really stuck out to me in that trailer. What's the woman's name?
In Hobbs and Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They didn't give her every, like, there were like little subtitles for Hobbs and Shaw. Okay, great. They're mainliners, but we don't hear her name. We don't get introduced to her. Why is she running around with these guys?
They needed to keep something secret. They spoiled everything else in the trailer.
Clearly, the hot blonde is the secret, I guess. But I don't know who she is or why she's there.
Icy Zorro brought up that Hobbs and Shaw proved that FNF will never die. Whiskey Gamer says, I saw a preview for Us Today at the movies and it gave away so much. So don't watch the trailer at the movies when you're there.
It's the same trailer that was at Super Bowl.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. But
I think it is.
There is a point where these movies are just, they're starting to combine in comic book themes. And I mean, do you think comic book themes are ever going to die now here? Or is it going to go Westerns where it's going to be so popular for so stinking long and then eventually it's just going to disappear?
Well, they had to do something with Fast and Furious since they got to figure out something to do with the franchise as a whole, because Diesel's not coming back. Obviously, Paul Walker's not coming back. Michelle Rodriguez. It just seems like they're trying to separate from the original cast. And that was fun. And try to do something with The Rock.
Miss Sonic Vader, are you trying to be Cyclops or
exactly? That's my ghetto Cyclops right there.
Everything is slipping into the superheroes.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
If you're listening to this on Spotify or Google or Stitcher or iTunes, and if you're not listening to this on those, you should listen to it on those platforms. Masonic Vader just had his headset down with the headband part of it over his eyes. So he was either doing a Geordi LaForge impression or Cyclops. So
I could do it the other way, and it could be what's his name from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, they're stating that they think that the art of the trailer is dead.
Jack Malice, that's more Princess Leia, bro.
Okay, so we got Hobbs and Shaw. Captain Marvel, did we at least like that one?
Yeah, it was a decent trailer.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything bad.
I think we don't need any more from it. It's so close to being released.
Yeah, it's super close.
Yeah, I think they just need to quit showing it, period, because I think they've given away too much.
Every action scene was shown in that trailer.
Yeah. And okay, so as it's being brought up in the chat room by Jack that the art of the trailer is dead, I agree with that on one factor. The Toy Story 4 trailer. Pixar in the past, remember when Pixar first came out, the trailers that they had were kind of just additional little stories to tell the story. They weren't actually within the film. They were just getting you to get a feel for the film. Now they just, the trailers they put are scenes that are going to actually be in the film. So do we think that's a better way of Pixar doing it, or would you prefer the little extra?
I thought with Pixar, it was better when you had the little extra. You just got a feel for the characters, but you knew nothing about the movie coming out, but you still wanted to go see it. But that doesn't, I don't think that works for real live action all the time.
I like the idea of like a little bit of extra, like, because then it hooks you and like, oh, where's this going to go?
Yeah.
Oh, how's that going to get resolved? Oh, I'm interested. It's like spying on a coffee shop conversation. And you're like, I'm just going to sit here stirring my coffee a little bit longer just to hear what's going on with her boyfriend.
It's what Avengers are doing so well right now, right? The Russo brothers have said there's not one thing that's going to be shown in a trailer that's past the first 15 minutes of the film. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to do, because here's the thing. All of your hooks of any good movie are going to be early on. All of your character development or your character kind of spotting is going to be done early on in the film like that. And just as kind of super put in there, you want to know who these people are. You want to be able to connect with someone and be interested to go see them. But it's one of those things as well where you start getting too deep into the weeds. And it happens with every great comedy. It happens with so many scary movies now. And I think Us is going to be a victim of it. I think Captain Marvel is going to be a victim of it. You show too much. And yeah, you're getting people interested. You're getting people excited to go see the film. But for people who enjoy going to the movies, you're ruining a large portion of the flicks, because I can't tell you how many times I've sat in the theater. And just recently I went and watched The Kid Who'd Be King, and I saw the trailers for that. And there were scenes from the trailer in The Kid Who'd Be King that were in the last 5 minutes of the film. You literally saw one of the ending resolutions of that film in that trailer.
Well, go ahead.
I was about to say, trailers, you got to go with two different ways. Where you give some, when you get a little deeper into your trailer, that's going to be for something that no one's ever seen or heard. It's not a franchise or anything like that. When, like, say, for example, Toy Story, they don't really need to show too much stuff, because it doesn't matter. You could just put Woody and freaking Buzz Lightyear and say, be back in 2018, and they will sell out. You don't have to do anything else. And that's where I'm hoping that with Captain Marvel, they've done too much and they need to pull it back. But fortunately, everyone's still going to see the movie because it's a segue to the following movie. So, and I agree with Jack in the chat room, and I'm going to quote this. It's about Captain Marvel. If they screw her up, I am going to lose my mind.
Lose. That is lose.
No, that's loss.
L-O-S-S.
Either way, but yes, we're going to.
It was L-O-S-S.
That's not bad. If they screw it up, we are going to lose. Yes. But,
oh, did he have something?
I mean, that's a point. You brought up a point exactly that I was going to bring up. Is that's where the art of the trailer is lost, is these new characters that they don't think anybody knows anything about, they cram more and more of the story into our eyes to try and get us to come see it. And then you get Toy Story and it's like, hey, we know you guys are going to see it. We know you know these characters. We're just going to give you something that just to show you Toy Story 4 is coming and it's cute and fun. Yeah.
And it was kind of silly. I mean, I don't know if that trailer was even part of the movie. I mean, it was literally just him hanging on a wall, getting kicked in the head.
It's going to be, it's going to be seen, but that's where they need to relearn that art, the art of the 80s, the art of making something enticing to want to see it without giving away everything.
I'm just going to put this out there though, with the 80s films is we have to have good music back first before we can have good 80s trailers. So I'm just going
Yes.
Good news. I'm out of here. Have a good night, everybody. See you
and
later.
If we want to talk about not giving anything away, this was a nostalgia factor for me. So this was high up on my favorite of trailers just because of the nostalgia factor. Stories to Tell in the Dark were books that I grew up with reading, and I knew exactly, even though it's a 10-second trailer, I knew exactly what story they were showing in that trailer.
Yep.
So I loved that. So lastly, we had Wonder Park, which I just think looks terrible. So
I didn't even know that was going to be a movie. I honestly thought it was a continuation of the Toy Story trailer. And then I was, because I thought it was the little girl, because I didn't remember what the little girl looked like, you know. And then I was like, oh, no, this is just a Roller Coaster Tycoon in a video form. And it looks like garbage.
See, I don't mind it. But then again, I'm easy to please. So, you know. it has to be really bad for me not to want to watch it. So.
And that one was pretty bad.
Is it going to get you out of your blanket?
Blankets are portable.
It's not good, then. You already know that. It's not good. If you can't get out of the blanket, it's not good. We give it 3, we give it 1.5 blankets. Move on.
This is the new rating scale. Is how many blankets? Yeah.
I got your back, Vic, on those trailers anytime you need them.
What was that?
Oh, no, he just said he doesn't even watch trailers anymore until you or I talk about them. Let him know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first 10 minutes of Up was literally terrible. No, thank you.
Whiskey Gamer, first 10 minutes of Up made me wonder who was cutting onions in my house. I agree, Whiskey.
That's one of the most emotional parts of a movie.
It's not fair how emotional that got everybody in the first 10 minutes of that movie.
Yeah,
it's just not, it's not fair.
Okay. That was the Super Bowl movie trailers and our reactions to them.
Now for the other half of the show.
3 blankets.
The next story that we had was, like I said, sci-fi in real life. We have NASA is putting together their DART program, which is the Double Asteroid Redirect Test. So they are actually testing shooting asteroids out of the sky that could potentially be life-threatening to the Earth. They are shooting. let me give you the explanation on this. The first ever test of a true planetary defense system. They've teamed up with the ESA to knock an asteroid off course by slamming into it with a special probe traveling at roughly 4 miles per second. They are going to be hitting Diddy Moon, which is off of Didymos, and trying to punch it out of its orbit. But luckily, it's hundreds of millions light years away, so it won't affect us if they knock it off course. in terms of size, it's the Great Pyramid in Giza, making it the smallest asteroid to ever be visited by a probe. However, if an asteroid that big were to rocket into Earth at a typical speed of nearly 19 miles per second, it could potentially wreck an entire region of the globe. So it won't be hitting impact until 2022. What do you guys think? Do you think this is something that it's good to see if they can even do this? Or
well, it does tell us whether or not we need to start recruiting people who work on oil rigs to go up there with a couple of warheads. But you know, why not? It's a good way to test it.
Okay. So
that was our review. That was our review for a fantastic song by Aerosmith. So now we have no worries. I personally thought that was a great song. Anybody else think that was bad or good? You know,
it was hilarious. But that's the thing is it's nice to see them. I mean, I love that the acronym that they used for it spelled out DART. They're literally throwing a probe as a dart to try and hit the asteroid.
I'm just really hoping that it doesn't. They don't hit it the wrong way. That's all it comes down to. I just they mess it up hit the wrong way.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they hit the wrong way, it's still going to be like way out of our range. It's not going to do anything to us.
So we hurl it into a foreign planet, and then their species finds out what happens, and it's interstellar war.
Well, with how far it is,
you've been watching too much Independence Day.
With how far away it is, even if it were to put it into a trajectory to hit the Earth, it'll be far beyond our time.
It would.
But you're just saying our generations are screwed. Yeah. All right, another thing we can add to global warming.
Yeah, not my problem. It's okay. We can just wait. It'll be okay. I mean, besides, there's always Plan B.
Is this where we start our journey into the Star Trek world, where we start getting those space explorations and all that fun stuff?
Kind of, I guess. We're doing something practical here. I mean, you know, people have been talking about this sort of thing for a long time. Might as well, you know, start dealing with it now before it's actually like a real problem where you have to start doing some of those crazy plans like you see in movies. So,
but I mean, with them doing something that takes, because they're going to launch between 2020 and 2021, expect it to smack into Diddy Moon in October 2022, and it's the Hera craft is what they're launching at it to see what the momentum transfer is and how effective it is. If they're doing something that takes a year to hit it, by the time that we see, I mean, how often is it when we see asteroids in potential trajectory of us, is it within a year that we see it, or is it within like 3 months?
I have no idea, to be honest. I can't remember the last time we had an asteroid even in our trajectory. Do you?
Well, they always have those like
a couple of years ago. It's always just gonna miss us.
What happens?
There used to be these big lizards around, and they disappeared. I don't know. We've had them close, though. I mean, they did, what was it, 2 years ago? There was something that came with like 500,000 miles or something like that. So it was almost like being between us and the moon. And so it's close. I mean, there's always something out there. As we saw when the eclipse happened a couple weeks ago during the eclipse, an actual meteorite hit the moon at the time of the eclipse, and they have that on video. So,
but not as big of an asteroid as they're saying that would be.
Of course, but it's there. So, I mean, it's cool that they're doing stuff like this. At least they're kind of thinking to the future. I mean, it goes maybe with our Space Army program. I don't know.
So Jack brings up Plan B as we all become mole people. So he's taking the Deep Impact route of storytelling.
Terrible movie.
Great Google fact checking from our producer there.
Yeah, so we got some notes from Jack that if an asteroid was coming that could hit that would be hitting us, it would be we wouldn't have enough time to deflect it, to get it out of the way. And that there is a possible asteroid that could be hitting us in 2029. And maybe that's part of the reason that they're putting this into action now, so that they can try and see. And that's the thing, is once they do this, they still said it's not a confirm that even if they do this, that anything bigger, they would be able to redirect. It's by possibly hitting us, it's going to be within a couple million kilometers of Earth. And that was the near hit a few years ago that was like, oh, there's an asteroid on its way. And then you found out how close it actually was. And it's like, well, it's not going to hit us unless it were to change trajectory. But they're just saying that it could potentially be
cataclysmic. If someone sends a dart at it.
Here's the thing. There's this theory called collision ring theory that states that large meteor hit our Earth, formed a nice little debris ring around us that then kind of solidified and made itself into the moon as we know it. So every time we look up at that moon, it's just like a giant reminder that, hey, we were hit once. It ended not so nicely.
And this is why we always say to come be a part of the show, or be a part of the show in the chat room. It's interactive. Indiana Jane dropping some great knowledge in terms of asteroids. Asteroids are constantly entering our atmosphere. They're just too small and burn up. Yeah.
Says
literally between 30 to 160 asteroids in our atmosphere every year. Icy Zero says the last asteroid he believes was roughly 2 years ago and was about 100,000 miles, less than 100,000 miles away. And that was the one that we had that they were talking about, like, this could be the end. Yeah, that's, it's nice to see NASA's doing something right now. They've basically, you know, they keep trying to come up with new stuff to create and keep the research going. So
they're my favorite nerds.
If you guys want to check us out anywhere else, we are anywhere available to listen. Podcast.com, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can listen to the podcast there. Please, please, if you're listening, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to drop a review. It helps other people find us and enjoy the content as well. And then you can also watch the finished product at youtube.com/C/MaliceCorp. And as always, come interact with us at any time on facebook.com, groups, All Things Nerd Podcast, or you can come and join us on Discord now. We have a Discord. It's all about community. It's all about supporting each other. So if you have a project that you would like to let people know about, come in, jump in, let us know what's going on, and let's talk All Things Nerd with each other. So I'll drop the invite to the Discord in the chat room a little bit later. Yeah, so let's move on to the last bit of news before we get into our nerd fight picks. It doesn't come up again.
This just in.
Oh, do we have a breaking news?
I don't know.
No, we don't. Skybound Games has partnered up with Beamdog to, for the first time, bring some Baldur's Gate games to consoles. But yeah. Skybound Games is getting into the Dungeons & Dragons computer role-playing game with Beamdog, and they are bringing classic role-playing video games, Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, Baldur's Gate, Siege of Dragonspear, Icewind Dale, Planescape, Torment, and Neverwinter Nights to console platforms in 2019. Two of these have never been on consoles before, so that was their thing, was they wanted to bring it to consoles for the first time so that people could enjoy these games. What were you going to say, Big Papa Matt?
There's only two games you need to worry about. But the other thing, though, is Skybound Entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing with Skybound is, you know, they have a couple of masterful games out with The Walking Dead and the Telltale series from them. That's what you need to know. And that's what's exciting about this is you actually have a really good indie developer being attached to this. So that's, if you are into games, you like games, that's where you should be pretty stoked about it. The second thing, though, is all you need to worry about is Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights. And everything else on that list is whatever.
Yeah, they're all enhanced editions, so and they're going to be displaying them at PAX East, so we'll see if they've improved, what the improvements are on them for people that have been on them before. But the comment that was made that these games are iconic, including Baldur's Gate, which has really set the standard for Dungeons & Dragons computer role-playing games. We're excited to bring Beam Dog's incredible slate to new platforms for both the dedicated fan and those who will soon discover these adventures for the first time. As longtime fans of Baldur's Gate and Dungeons & Dragons, it's fantastic to partner with Beam Dog as the newest member of the Skybound family. I mean, do you like this aspect for that it can expand Skybound gaming even more?
And well, get us for Skybound, I think that's what's really exciting because they can now have a revenue stream, right? So the reason why companies like Activision are able to just kind of pump out games all the time is because they have a revenue stream in World of Warcraft stuff, right? They're tied in with Blizzard. They get that money running in all day long from subscription services. This will hopefully be a remastered edition. They'll have some decent releases for these games. And then all of a sudden you have a revenue stream for the Skybound Entertainment where they can start producing some really good stuff. You know, they don't really have that huge AAA title. And I'm sure that's kind of what hopefully that's what they're going to go for. And I think that's really exciting. I think that that's something that can be really good for those guys as well. So for me, I think that's great because they have been known to have quality releases, even though they're not kind of games for everybody. They're more adventure stories. They're more video books than actual games, kind of weird action scenes. But these are full-blown amazing games on the PC that were all bestsellers for their times for the most part. But like I said, mostly, you know, the Baldur's Gate and the Neverwinter Nights stuff is what's phenomenal. So,
yeah.
I think 100% Whiskey, Warcraft 3 Remastered. I'm already on it, dude. I've already pre-ordered it. Can't wait.
I think the producer, Jack, said it best at the beginning that with these D&D games, they were great for their time, but bringing it into the console series and stuff, unless you could actually make it an open, like, not the same ending, not the same path kind of thing, you're not going to get what you want out of it. 100%. It's great. Yeah, and that's where I think it's going to fall short. I mean, you'll get the 5 minute. It's kind of like what's going on with me right now. I get to go play Tecmo Bowl when I'm done here, but when it's all said and done, I'm not going to be playing this 7 days a week for the next 2 months because these are games I've already played, I've already beat, and it's just reminiscent. I'm going to lose track of this in about a couple days, and my kid's going to be playing it, and there you go. So it's just one of those things where you get about 5 minutes, you get your 5 minutes of fame with it, and then it's just going to kind of fly off to the side unless they can improve on them.
Yeah, and these are going to be pure nostalgia sales. You know, these are going to be purely nostalgia sales. You know, that's what they're going to go after. That's the audience they're after, and that's good for them. But the other thing where Jack is 100% right is there are so many better video games right now that they need to dive back into. The problem is development processes take so long nowadays. I mean, I'm watching ROM hacks of Super Mario World that are taking 6 years to develop, you know, for people. That's just insane. That's full lives of regular video games with a full team making AAA titles. It takes a lot of money, and games that have open-ended endings and multiple paths and multiple character designs and arcs, they are some of the biggest games every year they release because you have stuff like Skyrim and things like that where there is a linear path. But you can do whatever you want in those. You know, Fallout is mentioned in the chat room as well. It does a really good job with that most of the time as well. But, you know, that's where the MMOs have such a huge following right now with Final Fantasy and World of Warcraft. They can just release patch after patch and expansion after expansion, and you get new endings, new end game, and that's what makes those amazing, amazing games.
Yeah, let me bring up some of what Jack's saying in the chat room. Because it's some great points. I hate the concept of people making tabletop role-playing games into video games. The linear nature of video games destroys the collaborative storytelling aspect that makes D&D what it is. So please do not attach D&D to a video game. Some of those games are good, but leave the D&D off. Till Generation 7 programming languages become real, games will stay linear.
If you can take the idea of going like we just had with Black Mirror, with Bandersnatch, where you could pick what you want to do and you have those different choices take you down a different path. So if you can put that in, and I've seen it, they can do it because they did it with Star Wars, The Old Republic, the MMO. The choices that you made, and you don't see this in World of Warcraft, which is something that I think that they're sorely lacking. The choices that you make in World of Warcraft, no matter what, ultimately you go down the same direction. In Star Wars, however, the choices that you make, good or bad, it affects your character and it changes your character. You can be playing a light side character, but you make dark choices and it's going to start affecting your abilities because you might be going down the dark side path. So you might not be as powerful as you were. So if you can have something like that come in, I think it could be really fun and really amazing if you open yourself up to, like you said, the multiple endings and not, and having to play the game over and over and over to get all the content and get all the pathways and see everything.
But I think see, it could be fun. No, but see, that's the thing though. That's, and so here's where I'm going to just combat that very hard, Sarah, because that's what gamers love. They love to beat games and replay them and be able to have different paths. Like, that's what makes it so fun. It's not about just being able to complete everything on the first go. It's about...
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think that's fantastic.
You have to have that. You have to have that.
Yeah, you do. You do.
With this, I mean, it looks like there's going to be more games coming along with it too. Not just them re-releasing these, because Beamdog did make the point that Skybound's accomplishments are amazing and they have demonstrated love and respect for creators. And we're thrilled to find ourselves working with such a talented group. So we could get more from Beamdog and Skybound together. Possibly. Is Skybound Games becoming more of a just a producer of games, or are they actually making them? Do you know, Big Papa Matt?
No, so they are a team of developers.
Okay. Nice. Skybound's expanding everywhere. It's cool. I love their comics. I love their board game, the card game that they have, that the fight game. I can't remember the name of it, but I have cards for it. So, I'm glad they're expanding out
into more. Magic the Gathering.
No, it's not Magic the Gathering. We actually played it here on the cast once, and I can't remember what the name of it is right now. I'll remember later. But if you want to find the game, go on Amazon and look up Skybound Card Game.
Or go to Mouse-Corp and watch that episode.
Yeah, exactly. the game playing episode. Are there any console games that you guys would like to not console, but PC games that never made it to console that you'd like to see pop up on console? Just to help other people experience that game?
X-Wing versus and TIE Fighter. And I would love to see those.
Masters of Orion 2.
Mm.
And what was it called? I can't think right now. Civilization, Myths, and Monsters. I would also like to see... Oh man, PC to anything World of Warcraft. I just want to see get redone anyways, even though it's coming shortly. So
StarCraft and Number Munchers.
Nice. I want Doki Doki Literature Club on console.
Yeah, that would do it.
And Jack agrees with Masonic about TIE Fighter. And,
oh man,
and 30 for it.
Tim's hurting inside right now.
And I agree 100%. ICs are basically anything from Sierra. I love the old Sierra games, the point and click games. And we were getting those, not with Sierra, but we were getting the point and click, the old LucasArts point and click games onto the Sony PlayStation. So I would love
we were getting Double Fine games that were originally released as Lucas games, but that was because Double Fine was able to purchase their IPs back, because no one loved those games except everybody loves those games. And that's why we got stuff like Day of the Tentacle and Monkey Island and all that stuff, because Tim, can't think of his name right now, I'm gonna blow it, but anyways, Tim from Double Fine, the creator of that stuff, is an absolute genius, and I'm so happy that he got his IPs back, because he was the creator of those, he's the storytellers of those, and he deserved to get those out. So
okay, awesome. I agree. I thank you for dropping the knowledge, because I always just knew him as LucasArts, because that was the age when I grew up. I wasn't paying attention. They just had the LucasArts logo on them. So he drops the knowledge. That's why we bring the Big Papa Matt back on the cast. Let's get into the last bit of the show, which is the nerd fight. We have our new nerd fight that's going to be starting up this next Sunday. The subject that we ended up going with was most improved television show, and we weren't saying it was just something that's on the air right now. The story behind it is basically, if you were watching a television show, and when you first started watching it, you were like, this is crap. I don't want to watch it. It's terrible. And later on, people told you how great the show was, or you'd stumbled upon it and you stuck with it and you kept watching it, and it turned into an amazing, fantastic show. That's what we're looking for, is the most improved shows. Those shows that turn from a pile of dog crap into a golden nugget, whether it be through writing or whatever. So that's what it is. That's what the nerd fight is. First up in the picks for the nerd fight is Super.
Okay. Well, I got a weird one then for you, because I didn't know we could pick stuff that wasn't currently on the air. The first time I watched an episode of this show, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. I did not understand it. I didn't get the humor. I didn't get the characters. Nothing. Didn't speak to me at all. And then I watched an episode with my brother. We started it over and we watched the pilot. And then I got to understand the characters a little bit more and I got hooked with the writing. It was actually Psych, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. But the first episode that I saw, I didn't get it. I thought it was supposed to be like The Mentalist, but then I thought, well, maybe he really is a psychic. I'm like, I don't understand this. Sean is weird. Like, what is happening here? But then when we actually went back and watched the pilot and started watching a couple episodes, I was like, oh, okay, that's how we got from there to this episode in season 5. And I'm hooked. I've watched all the seasons. I can quote it, you know, episodes from start to finish. So that's my show for something I thought was absolute garbage to.
Awesome.
I wouldn't even know.
Mike was yours. Improved immensely. Okay. I had the next pick because we're still going based off of the last nerd fight that finished.
Hold on. Quick clarifying question.
Yes.
So they have to be, it can no longer be on the air anymore?
No, it can be either on the air or off the air. Okay. It's just expanded, because if you do shows that are just on the air, it's really limited on the shows that you can choose. So
if that's you even why. Watch.
Huh?
if you even watch TV.
Yeah, exactly. So Sarah picks Psych, or Super picks Psych. Mine is on the air right now, and it's because when it first was announced and it first came out, it was cliche. It was just a spinoff. It was just a cash grab is how everybody looked at it. And really the acting, the story wasn't great on it when it first started, but in this last year, the writing has gotten so phenomenal. They reworked everything. They brought in elements to make it better. They recast, they got rid of what wasn't good on it. And that is Fear the Walking Dead. I know I sound like a Walking Dead fanatic. The Walking Dead was my pick for best show 2018, but that's because the writing has gotten so good with these series, and Fear surpasses The Walking Dead in terms of its writing. So that's my pick is Fear The Walking Dead for most improved television show. Next up was Masonic.
Well, this is hard because of the fact there was a couple shows that I can go with. There's nothing recent, unfortunately, because as I mentioned before, I've been able to successfully remove myself from the cord. But when going back and watching shows that I was able to binge and watch and get caught up and watch the final season of, a show that got me was the remade version or the new age version of Battlestar Galactica. Because for people like myself who grew up on the original series, you know, there was only 22 episodes and it was all one season. But when I was growing up, it seemed like it was like 12 seasons, right? And all the characters were awesome. So you go in and you have your high hopes for this new television show. Oh, great. We're going to be able to see it. And right off the bat, there's characters that aren't the same. Like Boomer is now a female and Starbucks now a female. And what is going on? And I was completely lost with the first season because it was the trying to figure things out from old and new and kind of separate. But as the seasons went on, as the episodes continued, it got to a point where when the final episode happened, it was like, it was almost close to, I see dead people. Like, wow, you really went that way on the final episode and tweaked it all together. And for people who haven't seen it, I'm sorry if I'm going to blow this for you, but wow, Earth, huh? So it was great to see what they did. And it was a great plot twist at the end. And I really did enjoy that series, but at the beginning, not so much.
Nice. So Battlestar Galactica, the new, yeah, and that was much improved on what came before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I don't think that she's going to pick. Do you know your pick, Marley?
I think I do. Sitting here thinking about it.
I don't think she's going to pick your pick, Big Papa Matt. So are you fine with letting her go next?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. You'll see which breaks in my room here. Do a break. Do a break.
Is it the Charlie Brown Linus Chronicles?
You know what? I'm well adjusted here. Shush. Mine, it's not that it was terrible when I first started watching it. It was just, it was a little, like, it was okay. It was fun. And then it just got better. Stargate SG-1.
Oh, nice.
First episode, if you think about that first episode and where they started off, with even where they ended up by the end of that first season, it was like it took where they left off with the movie.
Oh, that's a great
completely changed it into something that lived and stood on its own as its own complete thing, mm-hmm. and even launched its own spinoff. But I mean, talk about just
three of them.
Mm-hmm. But talk about just a show that really it took off in ways that we never expected just looking at that pilot. So That's my pick there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, SG-1, I remember when it first aired. This is going to be hard to fight against these when we try and talk against them next week. When it aired on HBO, it was okay.
Showtime.
Was it Showtime? I remember. Yeah. It was one of the paid for, but it was okay. And then it got dropped from there, and then it ended up on Sci-Fi. And yeah, they did improve it immensely as it went along, and yeah, I agree. SG-1 was great. Sliders,
Indiana Jane, way better show.
You know what? I love Sliders at the beginning, and I actually got tired of Sliders as it went along. That was my problem with it, but it was a great show. I did love it. Big Papa Matt, you're next up.
Oh, so, I actually started the show maybe over a year ago, and I watched like two episodes. It didn't really hook me in. And then Indiana Jane decided that I needed to watch the show and give it one more shot. And it's still currently on. It's actually a Canadian show. Schitt's Creek, man, on Netflix right now. And honestly, it is fantastic. It is so much fun to watch. I love the characters. I love how the characters have been developing. And it's just this really odd scenario, you know, kind of the people you hope to root against. You definitely didn't force me. I don't know why you're saying that, but it's one of those things where it's the family you hope to root against, right? It's the rich, you know, snobby people you want to see go down, right? That you kind of root, you know, that you hope they lose all their money and see what it's like to live in the real world. But they're just so endearing. All the characters are amazing. Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara is just phenomenal in it. So I loved everything about it so far. I'm midway through season three. Season four is just kind of premiered last couple weeks. And yeah, I'm a huge fan, really big fan now.
It is a good show. It's funny, but it does take
time. And it's called what?
Schitt's Creek. It's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-S. I've honestly never heard of it.
Two fun facts though about the show, because when I knew this was coming up, I wanted to do some fun facts. So Chris Elliott is a character. His name is Roland Schitt, and but what's great is the wig that he wears in this film is from Cabin Boy. So he kept the wig from Cabin Boy, and it's on this show now. So it's same hair that he had in that movie, which I thought was hilarious because Cabin Boy was awful and wonderful all at the same time.
I saw Cabin Boy in the theater, and my dad almost walked out of it.
Second one, though, is this was actually the first show on the Canadian, like, Screen Awards or whatever to actually sweep every category they're in 9 out of 10 awards for the night. So
it's out of boot.
Yeah. So
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's fantastic, man. It's really good. And you know, yes, absolutely. I see Zero Levy and O'Hara. They're just it's that fantastic team from Best in Show, things like that, man. They're just absolutely phenomenal.
Hop on, you're supposed to sell it next week, dude.
I will. I don't worry. I've got more, dude. Don't worry.
There's so many shows to choose from. I mean, they're just dropping stuff in the chat room. Whiskey Gamer says Seinfeld also got way better after the first season. I agree with that one too. Sliders did get way better after the first season, but I just didn't like the way it ended. And there's so much. That's why we made this a broad spectrum, because now you can have fun. right. talking about stuff that got better.
You notice, so nobody mentioned Iron Fist.
The producer definitely has a pick, and we're going to give it to the chat room pick because he's been pushing hard to get this on to the fight.
Jackass.
Orville. And I will explain the reasons for that next week. But it has gotten way better. That's our cast. That's the Nerd Fight. That starts on Sunday. You can vote every 10 hours from all platforms and really vote for who you want to win. Because as always, with the Nerd Fights, we have a two-week Nerd Fight, and then somebody gets kicked off the show. Notice that Nick and Icy Zora aren't here. It's because they tied for losing last week. So, but yeah, that's it. We're going to talk about where we can follow everybody. And if you have a hashtag of the week to interact with on Twitter or any other social media platforms, does anybody have any hashtags of the week?
Hashtag Schitt's Creek.
Hashtag Schitt's Creek. And where can we follow you, Big Papa Matt?
You can follow me at the Big Papa Matt on Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow me at Son of Maku here on Twitch, or if you want to play some games on PlayStation Network, also Son of Maku, and check out any of my great podcasts, also known as Nerd Mosh Pit, Quest for Movies for Quest for 100, and Comics for All.
Nice. Anybody else?
I don't want to follow
that. My whole Twitter timeline this week has just all been the same one from last week, which was the Supernatural 300, SPN 300. I mean, that's literally all my timeline. It's pushed everything else away.
It's just going to continue with SPN 300?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. SPN 300, and where can we follow you?
You follow me on Twitter at SuperHoovianNut, and then follow me on Instagram at SuperHoovianFreak.
Marley.
I've got one. I've got a hashtag. Oh, sorry, my bad, Marley.
It's okay. Well, I don't have a hashtag. I'm kind of all over the place, and way too busy this week to really do much. But you can follow me on Twitter at Marley Cricket, just like the insect. And yeah, that's me.
Thanks, Marley. And Ken, what's your hashtag? And then give us where to follow you.
Yes, mine is going to be hashtag classic Nintendo. Tell me what your favorite Nintendo game was.
That's a good one, dude. Hashtag classic Nintendo.
Yeah. And then you can follow me on Masonic Vader on Twitter, Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation Network, and of course check us out on one of the other casts, Malice Smack Talk. Definitely check us out there on Instagram, Twitter, and every other social platform, pretty much, because we're all there, and on Spotify.
I don't know if anybody said this or not, but did you say something having to do with Valentine's Day, Marley?
Not really.
No? Okay. So my hashtag
There was. Well, I have to share my Valentine's Day plan.
Well, here, let me give you my hashtag and then you can share that. Because my hashtag is going to be you inspired this, but it's Geeky Valentine's Day. I want to know what your Geeky Valentine's plans are. And she let us know hers, so we want to let you guys know how amazing these plans sound. But it's Geeky Valentine's Day, so give me your Geeky Valentine's Day plans. And you can follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp, or follow Malice, this whole podcast at All Nerd Podcast. And come join us on Discord. I dropped the invite there, and you can click on it and join us and talk about nerd things all the time. So what are your plans, Marley?
So my fiance and I have always had a long distance relationship. So what we have always done has been to order Domino's pizza, watch a monster movie, and then a musical. The first year we did it, it was Alien and Singing in the Rain, which both end with the same song.
Nice.
This year. We are watching, we're going to be watching West Side Story for our musical, but our monster movie / horror movie is going to be Mandy with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Nick Cage lives.
And we want
a Nick wrap Cage up. Lives.
So next Friday, when we're back on the cast, we want a wrap up of how great Mandy was and how great Nicolas Cage's acting was in it.
Okay.
I think actually they should probably do a live stream. with them watching it and getting reaction.
Valentine's Day. Let's give them some privacy.
There you go.
But nobody wants to see me leave my blanket for pizza.
So with that, thank you guys for joining us for another All Things Nerd podcast. We'll be back next Friday to talk All Things Nerd. And The Walking Dead comes back this Sunday. So you guessed it. So does TV Talks on Monday with Icy Zorro, myself, and Mrs. Malice to talk about the latest episode of The Walking Dead. You guys keep nerding on, and we will see you next Friday.
See you.
Peace.
The Later. Rogue is going to stealth out of here now.
Oh, my God.
Meh, whatever.